is the One-Off Technology Podcast with your host, Roy Richardson. Each week we cover topics in the news and how they affect you. Sit back, relax, and open your mind.
Hey, this is the One-Off Technology Podcast. I am your host, Roy Richardson, where each week I take tech news and I try to explain it in plain English and talk about how it's a benefit to you or not a benefit to you and why you may need to be paranoid about it or you need to be excited about it. And that's what the goal is each week of the podcast and also this live stream, is that I can bring tech news to you that you may not have been paying attention to. So this week I'm really excited because I want to talk to you about a new program from the U.S. government. So hidden in the COVID-19 relief bill, the $2 billion relief bill they had, there was an internet assistance program. And the internet assistance program, it's really known as the Emergency Broadband Benefit, or EBB. And what the program does is that if you qualify, they'll give you up to $50 a month. And so let me show you. Here is a really good site. I have this article posted. This is from the Washington Post. The government wants to pay your internet bill for a few months, and here's what you need to do. So it's talking about how a new program, $3.2 billion, has been set aside to give qualified Americans up to $50 a month on their broadband or potentially on their cell phone bill, one or the other, not both. But what's kind of squirrely about it is that the money goes directly to your internet service provider, directly to them. So here's the link, and these links will be in the show notes. But here is getemercybroadband.org is where you go. And then there's a link called Do I Qualify? And the amazing thing about this program is that a family can make up to $198,000 and qualify for this program. Here's the catch. You have to have been affected by COVID-19, either layoffs or furlough or something of that nature, or your kids may qualify and you don't. Your kids may be on free or reduced lunch. If they are, then you qualify. If you received a recent Pell Grant, that may mean that you qualify. Some of the kind of crazy scenarios, you could be four roommates. There's an interesting definition of a household. You could be four roommates, and if you don't support any of your roommates, then they theoretically count as a household by themselves. So theoretically, your roommate could qualify for up to $50, and you could qualify for up to $50. And so you have to go out and register for this program. And I've confirmed AT&T is doing this. Also, Xfinity, a.k.a. Comcast, CenturyLink also is doing this program. If you happen to be on Verizon Fios, they're also supporting this program. And they want to sell me something. Hey, Miami guy, thanks for stopping by. So this program is a great program. The problem is that it is not infinite. It's only going to last for a few months. And so it actually says about 6 months after COVID has kind of been declared over or the money runs out. The odds are the money is going to run out. And so you need to apply for this early if you think you're qualified for this program. And so I highly recommend going to this website, getemercybroadband.org, and filling out. There's a form on the page that you go and fill out. It'll tell you how to apply. And you'll fill out a form page, and once you fill the form page out, it will tell you if you qualify, and then that information is then used with your ISP, because again, as I said, this pays your ISP directly, so I'm a little strange out about that, and there are reports that ISPs are trying to upsell you on a more expensive data plan if you're using the EBB program, so the Emergency Broadband Benefit. If you're using that benefit, you may not want to upgrade to a higher plan. Why? Because the money doesn't last forever, and hopefully you're paying for internet that's within your budget now. And so if that fits in your budget, then this up to $50 credit could be a benefit to you, and that's great. But if you go for a higher plan and then the benefit runs out, then you may be trapped in a contract that won't let you go to a lower plan. So please be careful and make sure that you pick a plan that works for what works for you. And the great thing about it is if you got kids, you know, hey, we're all connected remotely to work and school, and it's really great to have this benefit. And so apply early, as soon as you can, if you think you may qualify. And again, go to this website. I will have links in the show description to this site and also to the Washington Post article that does a really good job of explaining how the program works and the benefits. And so, yeah. So I think you definitely need to look into that if there's a chance you qualify. And wow, $198,000. So if you were impacted by COVID in some way at your job, that's a wow. You can make a lot of, you know, your family could have a high income and still qualify for this program. So it's kind of blows my mind a little bit there. So anyway, if you're a single person, I think it's $99,000 is the most that you can make and still qualify for this program. So if you were impacted job-wise by COVID, go apply. And I probably beat this topic to death, so there you go. All right, now that's what I wanted to talk about for that. Next up, chapter two. Let's see, paper real quick. There you go. You know, special effects. I'm going to do 3D one day. I'll be throwing a paper at the camera. It'll be great. You'll love it. This is a great program, especially for students to be able to continue their learning. So definitely recommend it for families with kids to look into this. All right, next up. So you've probably always wanted to share your internet with your next door neighbor. I am confident that you want to share your internet with your next door neighbor. You have no idea where they go on the internet, but maybe you want to share your internet with them anyway. Well, how many of you have Alexa Echo devices in your home? If you do, then Amazon is about to turn on a feature called Sidewalk, and there's still time to opt out. But let me explain what Sidewalk is so you can decide if you want to opt out. So maybe you're familiar with Apple's recent, their Apple tags that just came out recently that allows you to locate devices. It works on Bluetooth, but it also works on a low bandwidth frequency that your iPhone devices all use. And so if you use an AirTag on your car keys and you lose them, then it kind of reaches out to all Apple devices in the vicinity and says, hey, is this tag anywhere near you? And then you can locate it. Well, Tile came out with this thing first. And so the AirTag is huge competition for Apple. Tile. Apple is huge competition for Tile with the AirTag. And so Tile, which has been around for about 4 or 5 years now, and really is a great device and lets you use Bluetooth in order to find devices in your find your car keys or whatever you've attached the tag to in case you've misplaced things. And we all misplace things. But the problem is how do you find it if it's not exactly within range of your Bluetooth? So Amazon is going to use this Sidewalk feature, which is an 80K of broad, basically 80K of your internet connection to allow those type devices to communicate. It's also going to use it to speed up access whenever you add new devices to your network. So if you add a new Amazon device to your network, it's going to help speed up that connection to that. And eventually, the plan is that your neighbors could use your internet. Let's say, for example, their internet goes down, yours is still working. Well, their Alexa devices will continue to have connectivity because you're close enough for them to use a sliver of your broadband internet connection. Now, there are certainly privacy concerns with that, and certainly, you know, kind of wonder like, well, what is my neighbor going to do exactly? And so the issue there is that it doesn't feel fully baked yet. And it sounds really neat. And if you've lost something and you have a Tile device, yeah, I want you to be able to find your stuff that's lost. But the problem is that the privacy and that sliver of your internet, they're saying in a month's time, it's never going to use more than 500 meg of your internet bandwidth, that they throttle it on purpose. And, you know, maybe it's harmless for the most part, but you never know. So if any of that is a red flag to you and you feel like you need to opt out, well, let me show you how to opt out of Sidewalk. And then you can decide later, hey, Sidewalk doesn't sound so scary to me. I'm going to turn it back on. So through the magic of cell phones, let's see what happens here. Let's hope this works. I just hate when things don't work. All right. So, yay! Okay, so NDI is really cool, by the way. So here's the Alexa app. So if you have the Alexa app on your phone, then go to More, and then go to Settings, and then go to Account Settings, and you'll see Amazon Sidewalk. If you go to Amazon Sidewalk, here it tells you it's a shared network, helps devices work better. And this really could be very cool because it means like your Ring doorbell could still potentially have connectivity even if your internet's out, but your neighbors is still working and they have Alexa devices as well. But if you scroll down to the bottom, right here at the bottom, there is disabled. So in my case, I've disabled it. When you go into the app though, you're going to find that it is enabled by default. And so you have to make a value judgment. Does this make sense for me or not? If it does make sense, then you leave it enabled. But what I don't like is that you have to opt out as opposed to opting in. And so that's a concern to me. I don't like features turned on that I might not want. I do think there's a lot of benefit. And certainly if you have a Ring doorbell, it would be great that you could tell if somebody went to your front door while your internet is out. So for me, the option I choose is disabled. So you have to consider that. Here it tells you what this does, and so you have to decide, does that make sense for you or not? Again, if it does, you should do it. All right. That's all I have to say about that. Definitely open, you know, it's one of those days. Next up, I want to talk about, hey, if you like this channel, you like this kind of stuff that I do, please subscribe. I love for you to subscribe. If you want to know when I post something, ring the bell, and then YouTube will notify you when I post a new video. I will be posting some how-to series coming up soon on my channel. I'm going to continue every Tuesday night, 8 a.m. Eastern. We'll be doing the podcast live, so definitely come by and watch that. Also, I am a huge fan of comments. I would love for you to comment on this video. Even if you're watching, a replay, thank you so much for watching a replay. I know you missed it live, but please feel free to post some questions out there. And I will definitely, you know, post a comment, post some questions, and I will definitely get back to you. I answer all of my comments out there. And so that'd be great. I really appreciate that. Also, if you want to find me on social, I am out on Facebook and I'm on Twitter as Tech Troublemaker. That's Tech Trouble MKR. Twitter wouldn't let me buy a vowel, two vowels actually, so I had to shorten the end of my name. But I'm known in certain circles as a Tech Troublemaker. And just thank you so much for coming by. Now, next up, we'll go to chapter 3. So Google may or may not have figured out that the world would like just a little bit of privacy, just a little bit. And I announced in a previous episode about the things they announced at Google I/O, my favorite being that the password manager built into Google Chrome would allow you to go and change compromised passwords right there in Google Chrome without actually having to go visit the website. So it worked out a way to do that for you. I think that's a fantastic feature. But another thing is coming where Google is going to turn on my brain suddenly says, I'm going to wait a minute. Two-step authentication, that's what I'm looking for. Two-step authentication. And you may have heard of two-factor authentication. So with two-factor, you log into a website, and then it may send you a text message, or you may have Google Authenticator where it shows a code you have to type in. So it takes two pieces of information in order to log into your Gmail or Google accounts. And so password and then a code that it sends you. Well, Google is going to push this on to everybody, and to make it more user-friendly, they're actually pushing the idea where you don't necessarily have to have a code anymore. Instead, they're going to send you an alert on your phone. If you have Google Assistant, then it's going, and Google Assistant does work on iPhone and Android. I've used it for years on Android. It really came into prominence the last year or so, but it will send you an alert and say, hey, you're trying to connect to the internet, to your Gmail account. Do you allow this? And so there'll be a pop-up on your phone that says, hey, do you allow them to connect, allow you to connect? And you can say, yes, of course. If it feels like somebody's compromising your account, of course, you got to say no. Hey, no, that's not me. And it'll give you a way to contact Google and let them know that something's not right. But the cool thing about it is that, you know, it will be another way to protect your Gmail accounts. A few years back, I was notified by Google that somebody from the Middle East was attacking my account for some reason, and that they potentially had access to my accounts. And so that's when I immediately said, ooh, I'm going to turn on two-factor. And I've gone even beyond that. I now have a YubiKey, which is a USB dongle that plugs into a USB port, and it has a button on it. And when you log into your Gmail account, you press that button, and Google says, oh, okay, I'll authorize it. So it passes a security key. And so that's even more secure. But that's just the level of paranoia that I'm at. And plus, I like technology. It was cool to me. And I thought, oh, yeah, this would be really cool. I will do this. I will put two-factor on like that. And so I've been using two-factor ever since that time. And I have that on any account that allows me to use two-factor. Granted, you won't have the Google option for Facebook or, you know, Apple stuff, but and certain websites, you know. But any place you can turn on two-factor authentication, you really should, because it secures things. Now, I want to do a little demo here. Ta-da! So, we looked at Show If You Qualify, but let's go look at Google. So, if you go to myaccount.google.com, and by the way, it's fascinating right here. There's six websites that I haven't visited in 1,000 years that have really horrible, awful, terrible, weak passwords, and I really should fix them, but then part of me says, I'm never going to use those sites again, so maybe to protect my identity, I really should go and lock that down. But the other thing that Google is going to do to protect your privacy is it's going to give you more control over your search history and your internet history. Something that you've had, but you had to really hunt for it to find it. In fact, there was a report this week that Google on purposely was having Android makers kind of hide that place for you to hide the location info. But if I go here, I can go to, so if I go to data and personalization, and I can go here to web app activity. So it's myaccount.google.com. And then when you get there, you'll see data personalization. And so you can go to web and app activity, and you can go right here and notice that they have turned auto delete on for 3 months. This was not the case. This is a new feature that's come about recently. So I can go here and I can actually tell it, hey, you know, delete it 3 months. I can tell it don't delete activity. I can always go in here and delete that information anytime. So I don't actually have to wait 3 months, but and I do wish this was set so that you could automatically set it for less. There's actually a browser setting that can wipe out your web history right out of the browser every time you start it up. Depends on how paranoid you are. I find it very helpful to have that history. I might go to a website yesterday that was only 50% interesting to me yesterday. But today, wow, that site's really interesting. I want to go find it. And so I'll go search through my history and find it. And so that's really helpful. But, you know, you can pick how long. I don't know why anybody would say I want to keep 36 months. And I do wish it had like a week or, you know, 7 days, you know, or less. Of course, 7 days and a week are the same thing. I know that. But what I just mean, you know, I guess you had to be there. And so I can turn that off and then next, and then I'll say, hey, and I can set up all delete from my location history as well and my YouTube history. So maybe I don't want people to see what my YouTube history is. I can go and block that. You can also, so I actually have location tracking on. Why? Because I, at some point, decided my family should know where I'm at all times, just in case I lose myself. Not like Eminem lose yourself, but, you know, like me lose myself. I don't know. If you're a paranoid person, you do things that are weird because it's, and if you're just a weird person, you do things because you're paranoid. I guess you just had to be there for that. But point being, yeah. So I turned those features on and include audio recordings. You know, I haven't really looked into that, but that's something else. Now, going back, the other thing you want to look at is security. So as I mentioned, you know, about the two-step authentication, so I can go in here and I have two-step verification on, and I can go and set it up where it actually goes to my phone and says, hey, dude, you know, it goes out to my phone and notifies me, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, is it you? Did you really mean to log in? So I have several devices it'll pop up and ask me. It also has the option to find a lost device. So if you have Google Assistant loaded, it's kind of like Find My Phone. It will go and help you find it. Anyway, those are just things to think about. Those are settings that you can set yourself and really helpful. Again, I'm going to have stuff in the show notes that tells you how to get here and how to make those changes if that's something that you want to do. And so, yeah, good stuff, good stuff. All right. How's everybody doing tonight? I really appreciate everybody that's come out to watch the live stream. And again, I want to thank everybody that does the replay. That is this week's show. Wow, it feels like a really short, quick show, but hey, that's how it is sometimes. There is tons more news I could have went into, but those were the top stories that I thought you needed to see. Really want to iterate again, go out and see if you live in the United States, if you qualify for the Internet Assistance Program, the Emergency Broadband Initiative, a benefit, and go and see if you qualify for that. I think you'd find that a lot of help. Again, don't make your budget such that you depend on that, because every good thing comes to an end. And so you want to be prepared for that, but take advantage of it while you have an opportunity. Yeah. And go turn off Amazon Sidewalk if that makes sense to you. And please turn on two-factor authentication for your Google accounts. You want to be safe. Next week, well, maybe more on the story about Netflix getting into the game streaming business. Right now, it's still in the rumor mill stage. Still in the rumor mill stage. And I still owe you news on why I chose the M1 Mac Mini over the M1 iMac. You want to know why I did it? Yeah, I'll tell you. And that is our show. Thank you. Bye.
You've been listening to the One-Off Technology Podcast with your host, Roy Richardson. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts on Apple, Google, Stitcher, and Spotify.